Greetings, greetings, once again, to all my enemies and all my friends. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. Yes, welcome back. It is the Weekly Worldview. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help to focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. And it's we've been gone for a week. We were off. Situation came up. It was outside of our control. What can we say? But we're glad to be back, and we're glad to have you with us. And I'm not sure if I want to start with the snow or I-70 or one of our listeners up in Alaska. Yes, Alaska, the far-flung podcast here at the Worldview. I think I'm going to start with the snow melt because that's an active event right now in our life and here at the McBurney compound. And last night, I was observing a cornice that had formed in the corner of the gable of our house, and I was watching it as the snow changed minute by minute, hour by hour, slowly diminishing and melting, first turning into ice, then into a slushy material, and then slowly disappearing, dripping to the ground, evaporating up into the air. And I pondered how anyone could watch such a situation without realizing that that situation is impossible in any other place in the universe. There's no other place in the universe with such a fine-tuned balance of nature so that snow can melt slowly, gradually, over hours and even days until it eventually disappears and is then replaced by a beautifully green grass. Our front yard, the snow melts and it's just revealing this beautiful green grass. It's a total impossibility anywhere else in the universe. Earth is very unique. And to watch the snow melt last night was magnificent. It was laudable. It was something to see. And to think that the Earth is not a unique creation by an intelligent designer is to be willfully ignorant. I mean, the odds of this happening anywhere else, well, it's just impossible. Anyway, that's just my observation, my opening observation. Now, secondly, after watching the magnificent performance of God's creation last night and observing its unique nature, I drove to church this morning on I-70 and had the kids in the car, of course, and there's a stretch of I-70. I just want to warn you people, if you live here, you probably already know this, but if you're coming to visit, let's say you're coming to visit Denver from somewhere east, there's a stretch of I-70 between the Eagle Claw Tackle Factory and the Dog Food Factory. It's the old warehouse district here in Denver. And a few years ago, the warehouse space was cheap, dirt cheap. And now it's extremely expensive. And when you drive along this stretch of I-70, you find out why. Because the stench of industrial grow operations actually invades your car and then sticks in your car for about 5 minutes. Driving back after church, well, and of course the kids are like, that stinks. What's that smell? And we just didn't talk about it. And on the way back, I had to hit the little button so that I wasn't taking any air from outside and I was just recirculating the air inside the car so that the kids wouldn't have any questions about the reeking smell along I-70. So that whole warehouse district now is occupied by growers, and you can actually smell it. It reeks. So there you have it. That's the state of my city. All right, it's quite disturbing. But let's go to Alaska. I got an email out of the thousands of emails that were processed here at the Weekly Worldview headquarters over the past couple of weeks. Only one made the cut, and it's from Russ in Alaska. He says, Doug, I respect your opinion, so I'm asking for some advice on my situation. Here it goes. I woke up Tuesday not really feeling like a man, and then it struck me. I was a girly man. In fact, I felt I was America's preeminent girly man. That's right. I was the President of the United States. So I ordered up Air Force One, and they gave me some guff about it at first, but they gave in when I threatened to sue them for denying my girly status. We flew to Dubai, partied like it was $14.99, and spent $40 million. The next day, I woke up feeling like a dentist. So I met up with Hillary Clinton in a men's room at Target, and I pulled the old witch's last two teeth. That's right, Doug, no anesthetic, no nothing. And boy, did she howl. But of course, no one at Target intervened for fear of denying anyone the free exercise of their feelings while in the bathroom. It was quite the scene. This leads me to the obvious question. Should I boycott Target? Or should I continue to stalk their bathrooms in hope of finding liberal politicians to abuse? And I think the natural question to that, Russ, is yes. And we'll just move on from that. That's exactly the point. Yes, what? See, with the whole bathroom situation, it's so confusing that there just is no simple answer. Yes, you should boycott Target. But yes, if you run into a liberal politician, you should give them some abuse, I suppose. Anyway, let's move right into the devolution file. The devolution file. And for that, we go to San Francisco. Yes, up in San Francisco, according to CBS News, a religious organization has filed a lawsuit against the city of San Francisco to remove an open-air urinal, from a popular park. The group is called the Chinese Christian Union of San Francisco, and they're demanding that the city remove the concrete circular urinal from Dolores Park. The group says the urinal is out in the open. It's screened only with plants. It emanates offensive odors. It has no hand washing facilities, and it's offensive to manners and morals. To which the city of San Francisco replies, So is everything we do, except for the plants. So the Chinese Christians want the open-air urinal to go away. They say it exposes those who use it to shame and embarrassment, to which the San Francisco City Council said, what's that? The city's attorney's office said in a statement, because nobody wanted to stand up and actually take questions about this, so they just issued a statement, stating that the park is well known for its counterculture, immodest sunbathers, pot brownie vendors, and famously irreverent... Well, I don't even want to read that. Just get out of here with that. Things they do in San Francisco make you sick. Residents, as a matter of fact, around Dolores Park had advocated for the facility in order to stop people from urinating on walls, bushes, sidewalks, and just about anything else that they could urinate on. And the city fathers, mothers, what do you call them in San Francisco? They're not the city fathers. I apologize if I offended any of the trans-friendly members of the San Francisco City Council. They approved an open-air urinal so that the bums would have a place to relieve themselves. I don't know that the Chinese Christian Union of San Francisco is going to hold much sway with the city. I don't know what to call them. The city trannies. Well, they're not transgendered, although they may wake up at times feeling masculine, feminine, somewhere in between, neither, somewhere along the continuum of San Francisco sexuality. So whatever you wake up feeling like this morning, oh, city fathers of San Francisco, I respect your feelings. So I don't know that the Chinese Christian Union will hold much sway. CBS reminds us that San Francisco has a long history of dealing with public urination. Last summer, the city painted nearly 30 walls with a repellent paint that makes urine spray back on the urinator. That's how creative you have to be when you're a liberal. You have to come up with paint that sprays urine back on people. Yeah, that's a. I didn't make that up. They actually did that. I didn't know there was such a paint. But what's a liberal to do? All right. Now, I have news from gossip.com. What's it called now? No, it's gossipcop.com. Anyway, this website does a complete breakdown of the latest Bruce Jenner television program, the reality show. They say Bruce Jenner is struggling. Well, they say Caitlyn Jenner, but I'll say Bruce Jenner is struggling with the idea of gender reassignment surgery. Uh-huh. Just not sure if he can make the final cut, so to speak. Well, something like that. Yes. He's not sure if he can go through with it. He's struggling with it on the air, obviously, in a desperate attempt to get some ratings for his pathetic and disgusting and disturbing TV show about a mentally deranged person living in a milieu of mentally deranged people, encouraging him in his delusion. They do a blow-by-blow review of the latest episode of, let's see, the show is called I Am Kate. Mm-hmm, indeed. Okay, Bruce, they say, is accompanied by a transgendered tranny, and they discuss going to an adoption agency. Oh, I see, they're on their way to an adoption agency, and he's there to support his transgendered freak friend as it gathers information, adopting a child as a transgender woman, begging the question, what is a transgendered woman? All right, so there you have it. The only press that Bruce Jenner gets this week, believe it or not, is here on the Weekly Worldview. And we just want to encourage Bruce Jenner to just face reality, you know? You're Bruce Jenner, for crying out loud. Grab a Wheaties box from 1977. Get with reality, for crying out loud. You're freaking everybody out. You're making us sick, too, by the way. Now, speaking of making people sick, there is one man who's made that his profession for his entire career, and that is one Larry Flint, the publisher of a pornographic magazine. Well, last week, Utah became the first state in the country to adopt a resolution declaring pornography to be a public health hazard. Yes, indeed. One of the state senators there pushed a resolution. It's a non-binding, relatively meaningless resolution in which the governing officials of Utah assert that pornography is a public health hazard. And this has led Larry Flint to issue his response, to vomit forth his response. He says he will now send an issue of Hustler to every member of the Utah legislature. Uh-huh. And you know what he says about his industry, the pornography industry? He says, we're no danger to the public, only to the repressed, Mr. Flint said in a statement. Why? Well, because he can't stand up, number one. He can't stand up at a lectern. And he certainly doesn't want to take any questions. And whenever he's seen in public, people flee and scream because he looks like Jabba the Hutt after an extreme bout of seborrheic dermatitis. Very scary looking, Mr. Flint. Hard to believe that he's still alive. Proving that the Lord has mercy, even on the most wicked among us. So he's going to send an issue to... He's going to send an issue of his magazine. Oh, you know, he says that he's only, pornography is only a danger to the repressed. Isn't this interesting? How the grossly pornographic and publicly immoral accuse those of us who just want them to keep that to themselves. They say we're repressed because we don't want him parading naked people all over and insulting women and degrading women. So we're suddenly repressed. That's the typical Larry Flint. In his statement, Mr. Flint pointed out that in 1969, President Lyndon Johnson and the President's Commission on Obscenity and Pornography found that no evidence exists that exposure to explicit sexual materials caused any kind of criminal behavior. Is what he said. Now, that was 1969. Now, do you think that the President's Commission on Obscenity and Pornography could have foreseen the day when porn-addicted, mentally deranged people are slaughtering one another at an enormous rate? It's unbelievable. And the only reason that the President's Commission found that obscenity and pornography didn't cause any kind of criminal behavior is because they refuse to acknowledge any criminal behavior is associated with sexual immorality, or that any, or that even there even such is such a thing as sexual immorality. They just refuse to see it. So up in Utah, they passed this measure acknowledging the dangers of pornography. They say that the intent here is to raise understanding of the addictive nature of pornography. This should go in the Why We Lost the Culture War file, because the bravest among us who are leading the charge for legislation, their goal is merely to raise awareness instead of to criminalize what was criminal before it was decriminalized by Lyndon Johnson, the other liberal sex perverts in the 60s. It's so sad that this is the goal. We want to raise understanding. By the way, this story is from the Washington Times, and they make a note that every member of the U.S. Senate and House has received a free subscription to Larry Flint's magazine since 1983, and a federal judge has ruled that Mr. Flint can't legally be prevented from stuffing their mailboxes with his disgusting, vile, sick, degrading magazine. And if you look at what's going on in Congress these days, it's apparent that most of them have taken advantage of Mr. Flint's invitation and regularly consume his magazine. Thank you for joining us this week to America's fastest streaming podcast, depending on your internet service provider, of course. We're glad to have you with us. And we'll open the second segment with reason number 1044 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. Now, this story is from the United Kingdom, but we're including it in the list of reasons to get or keep your children out of the government schools because I make the list, and I decide, and I can do whatever I want, because it's my list. And after all, we were once a colony of our fine British brethren across the pond, and so what happens in Britain has a direct impact on the psyche, at least, of what happens here in America as Western civilization circles the drain. What's happening in the UK, according to The Sun, is that a UK city council wrote to parents on the occasion of school enrollment. They wrote a letter to parents. This is the Brighton and Hove City Council. And they wrote, "We recognize that not all children and young people identify with the gender they were assigned at birth, or may identify as a gender other than male or female. However, the current systems set nationally only record the gender as male or female. Please support your child to choose the gender they most identify with, or, if they have another gender identity, please leave this section blank and discuss with your child's school. Thank you very much. We look so much forward to seeing you here at the Brighton and Hove School Department. Yes. Well, many parents, according to The Sun, were appalled. Yes, they were appalled by the letter. I don't want to get into what the parents say because they're just hapless idiots. Obviously, if they're sending their children to the government schools, they're somewhat hapless and, well, just not the brightest bulb, that's all. Oh, I'm sorry. Were you people expecting an update on the presidential primary? Have I skipped over the important news of the day? Did you want to get my opinion on Ted Cruz versus Donald Trump and Ted Cruz's crafty effort to steal the delegates in an undemocratic fashion? Did you want to hear the latest update on Donald Trump having to duck for cover and run in the back door? Unfortunately, I'll have to tune in somewhere else to hear all that. Also, if you want to hear a detailed recap of the White House Correspondents' Dinner, just tune in to Rush Hannity, Sean Limbaugh, Levin tomorrow, and you can get that for 3 hours. So we're going to leave that aside, but I appreciate your interest very much. I apologize. Now let's get back to reason number 1044, to get or keep your children out of the government schools, whether you're in America or in England. A Tory minister of parliament described the letter as utterly ridiculous. Schools should be teaching kids to read and write, not prompting them to consider gender swaps, said. This is a minister of parliament, obviously unaware that government schools should not be teaching kids to read and write because they shouldn't exist. Parents should take responsibility for the education of their own children, and it should be done in the home and in the church and in private institutions, and it should not be funded by a secular, godless pile of heathens, hell-bent on molesting your children mentally at best. There we go. So there's reason number 1044, in no particular order. And now we go to the aforementioned Why We Lost the Culture War File. Yes, Why We Lost the Culture War File. And this is a story about our good friend, Curt Schilling. Curt Schilling, former Red Sox great and a pitcher. Apparently, now I know this is a little dated, but I've been out for a couple of weeks. All right, give me a break. I haven't had a chance to comment on Mr. Schilling's unfortunate dismissal from a network called ESPN, which is the entertainment and sports programming network that is not allowed in the McBurney compound. I don't even think we have it on the dial. We programmed it out. Schilling tweeted a meme, apparently, that showed a man with a long wig, cutout shirt, and stockings, saying, "Let him into the restroom with your daughter, or else you're a narrow-minded, judgmental, unloving, racist bigot who needs to die." That was Mr. Schilling's tweet, and ESPN then fired him over it. Breitbart reports that Jay Brown of the Anti-Christian Human Rights Campaign said that Schilling's public and derogatory attack on transgender people was extremely troubling. It's ugly propaganda. Doesn't Mr. Schilling know that transgendered people are baseball fans, too? So the Human Rights Campaign is upset at Curt Schilling. But Curt Schilling, he's defending himself, and it's rather depressing to hear his defense. Curt Schilling, now he's the standard bearer of the pro-family movement. Just because he stood up and said men shouldn't be allowed in the women's bathroom, that makes him now some kind of conservative standard bearer. He says, "Listen, I have flaws, but I'm okay with my flaws. They're what make me me. I thank the Lord for the life I've been given," says Curt Schilling. "A life interspersed and occupied by men and women who are gay, to people of all races and religions, by men and women who dress as other, by men and women who've changed to women, and men who've changed to women, and women who've changed to men. Most of my closest friends are transgenders. Well, that sounds like what he's saying. No one decision I've ever made about a person has anything to do with those things I just mentioned, nor will it ever. So he's fine with everyone being a mentally deranged sex pervert on their way straight to hell with jet rockets. But all he said was he doesn't want the trannies in the bathroom with his daughter. Or we shouldn't want trannies in the bathroom with our daughter. Yeah. So this is why we've lost the culture war, ladies and gentlemen. Well, maybe I'll get to that. Maybe I'll get to, you know what? I'm going to flesh that out a little bit. Let me just say that I'm very disappointed in Kurt Schilling for implying that his whole life is full of homosexuals and transgenders and other perverts, and that he's totally fine with that, and that that's not what he meant. Okay, I'm very disappointed. But let me move on, because this whole bathroom issue, which, by the way, is a sign of how close we are to the rim of hell, that this is an issue. We've got the story I heard while I was driving somewhere out here in the wild, wild west. I was listening to the radio, and the story came on, and I was stunned. Whole Foods, you've heard the story, I'm sure. A customer claimed a bakery staff wrote the word fag on his cake. I thought that was pretty funny. Anyway, so this homo goes into a Whole Foods and he wants a cake design. What's with the homos and the cakes? Is this something that I wasn't aware of in the homosexual community? I'll admit that I'm not up on the latest happenings within the community, so to speak. I'll admit that. But do they have a thing about cakes? What, do they have to have a cake for every moment in their life? Oh, I see. It's because the cake shops are an easy target. Yes, I see now. I get it. Well, Jordan Brown is the pastor of the Church of Open Doors and an open homosexual. And that's not the story. See, I thought that was the story. When I heard this on the radio as I was driving, I thought, you know, here's a guy who claims to be a Christian leader, a pastor of a church, and he's an open homosexual. But that wasn't the story. The story was that he said that the cake shop, well, it wasn't a cake shop. He said that the flaming liberals at Whole Foods had written the word fag on his cake as a means of discriminating against him somehow. Anyway, well, it turns out that Whole Foods had video, and that the guy, this homo pastor, if you can even use those two terms together, I wish that was not the case, but there it is. He wrote the word fag on his own cake so that he could have his 5 minutes of fame or something. Maybe a lawsuit, I don't know. Whole Foods says, look, the guy who decorated your cake is a fag, as a matter of fact. That's what they said. So that's it. You helped me with this. I wasn't sure what was with the homos and the cakes. You're right. It's because they're easy targets. I think it's very disturbing that in Austin, Texas, there's a pastor of the Church of Open Doors who's just a flaming open homosexual. That bothers me still. I know. I'm part of a tiny minority who's still shocked by the fact that open, flaming, dripping, festering homosexuals profess to be leaders in the Christian church. That still shocks me. Now, here's one that I'm not shocked by. Eddie Vedder is a washed-up grunge musician, and him and his pathetic band have canceled a concert in North Carolina due to the fact that North Carolina passed a law saying that boys should go to the boys' room and girls should go to the girls' room. And let's see, he says that South Carolina has a law that broadly discriminates against a whole group of people. Yeah. And here's the thing, folks. If it comes to the point where we're going to discriminate against people by not letting them go into the bathroom or just behave in bizarre, weird fashions, you know, like dressing up like a woman and trying to get into the girls' room, that's dementia. That's beyond mental illness, in my opinion. Mr. Vetter is offended by the fact that North Carolina is discriminating against mentally deranged people trying to force their way into the wrong bathroom, when in fact it's Eddie Vetter and people like him who are discriminating against these people by refusing to help them out of their delusion and their mental illness. It's you, Mr. Vetter, who are discriminating. And it's you who are causing hurt and harm to these people by entertaining them in their delusion. At another concert, he dedicated a song to all the soldiers in the LGBT community, urged everyone to repeal this despicable law. He says, we've got to be pissed off at the right people and get them to change their minds because they made a mistake. And the negative impact of the North Carolina law upon basic human rights is profound. So I remember back in the 90s when people actually listened to this guy. And I remember seeing a video in which Eddie Vedder, I think he's the lead singer of some washed-up grunge band that probably doesn't even exist anymore. And I remember him singing a song while writing on his arm with a giant black magic marker, pro-choice. And I remember they would put on benefit concerts for Planned Parenthood, indicating to me that the members of Eddie Vedder's pathetic washed-up grunge band probably participated in enough abortions to where they felt so guilty about it that instead of coming to repentance and saying they were sorry, they did what comes naturally to man. They dig in and they join the other side. I am Doug McBurney. I'm the host at the Weekly Worldview. Joined in studio, as always, by my extremely audio engineer. That's right, even Eddie Vedder could find forgiveness for his support of the killing of innocent people and the sexual perversion that is consuming our nation. Even he could find forgiveness for that. Now, for that song, Don't Call Me Mother, he could never be forgiven. That is the unforgivable sin. There's no forgiveness for that. Jeremy. Never could he be forgiven for that. Can't happen. No. For participating for active participation in the death of rock and roll, he cannot be forgiven. But he could be forgiven for his other various and sundry sins. But don't hold your breath on that one. You know what's scary? And a little disturbing, it's that according to the general ebb and flow of pop culture, it's about time for 90s musicians, washed up 90s musicians, to start making their comebacks. That's disturbing. Think about it. Let that sink in for just a minute.
Well, what 80s band came back?
Well, all of the 80s bands came back, at least as far as we know. Sure they did. Even Prince came back before he died. Well, that's true. Only the ones who didn't overdose or blow their heads off with shotguns can come back. But that is disturbing to think that the 90s are due for their comeback. But yeah, fortunately, many of them have passed from the scene and will not be making an encore. Yes, so I was in a trade show booth with a colleague, and when I heard that Prince had departed from the scene, and I made the foolish prediction that, you know, despite what we've heard, I really don't think it was drugs. And this is a younger guy, probably 33, 34. He looked at me and he said, "What are you talking about?" I would have assumed, of course, it was drugs. He said, "I don't know. I watched that guy growing up. I would have assumed it was drugs." And it turns out it looks like it was drugs. Who would have thought he's a pillhead, right? There you have it. Anyway, underscoring the massive problem of opioid addiction in America today. Apparently, it's quite the problem. And musicians and artists are usually at the forefront of problems like that. And so there you go. How did I get off on that? Didn't Prince make a comeback? Not really, huh? Not really. Anyway, let's move on. Let's. Yeah, well, he had the boy could play the guitar. There you go. Yeah, he could definitely play the guitar. All right, now we go into the politics file. The governor of North Carolina says that Human Rights Campaign, the leftist homosexualist lobbying group, he says they are now more powerful than the National Rifle Association. And the NRA, of course, has been considered the most powerful issue group in the United States, but no longer, says Governor Pat McCrory in North Carolina. And he knows because he's been feeling the heat ever since he just passed a law saying boys should go to the boys' room and girls should go to the girls' room. Can you imagine you're sitting in the governor's office and the legislation comes across your desk? You'd think that Mr. McCrory at some point would have looked down at this and just said, "My, is this what we've come to? Is it this bad that I have to actually sign a law that says this?" Anyway, it's just very disturbing. Well, he says, by the way, I noticed that Breitbart has taken to always referring to Human Rights Campaign as the anti-Christian Human Rights Campaign. And I appreciate that, because it is so very true. Well, the governor says that they are putting a lot of pressure on governing officials, businesses, business leaders, cultural leaders there in North Carolina. Breitbart reports that the governor is under continued assault from a highly organized, very rich coterie of homosexual organizations and their friends in business and the entertainment world, simply because he defended women and girls. And then they go on with the story. They don't want biological men urinating and showering and with our daughters, right? And so, you know, the argument should not be about protecting women or protecting our daughters from potential sexual predators. That shouldn't be the argument. I mean, this should be about discouraging sinful behavior that leads to mental illness, disease, and death. I mean, normal, rational people should be able to stand up and say that these are mentally deranged people. That neither the government nor we as citizens and as their neighbors should encourage in their delusional behavior. That's what the argument should be, but I guess we gave that up a long time ago. Equal rights, not special rights. Isn't that what that psycho babbler from Focus on the Family said over 20 years ago? Equal rights, not special rights, was the line from the psychologists and the lawyers over at Focus on the Family. That was the early 90s. That must be where we surrendered the ability to just be normal, rational people anymore. Now we have to argue over where we can pee, for crying out loud. Could it be more ridiculous? Could it be more comical than to argue about where people should be able to go to the bathroom? Really? Well, that's where we are. Now, Breitbart notes that that some people think that Human Rights Campaign is actually just really concerned with how to keep their coffers full and their doors open and the LGBT issue on the boil after seemingly having won everything they wanted. I mean, they got marriage from the Supreme Court, right? They got an opinion from the Supreme Court that they can get married. What more do they want? I think there's probably some truth to this. Human Rights Campaign has a big staff. They got a lot of office space. They got a lot of rent to pay. And they're just going to keep pushing this issue. I wonder if the homo in Austin who wrote the word fag on his own cake, I wonder if he was part of just this effort to try to gin this issue up and keep it in the forefront of everybody's mind so that the Human Rights Campaign, which I suppose you would have to call the leading manufacturer in the homosexualist industry. Human Rights Campaign has probably reached a point where they're very similar to the National Right to Life Committee. They're just trying to find ways to rake in enough money so that they can retire, for crying out loud. That's all they're interested in. It happens on the left, and it happens on the far left. It happens at National Right to Life. It happens at the Human Rights Campaign. Anyway, so there you have that. Human Rights Campaign now more powerful than the National Rifle Association. Okay. Now, let's move on to reason number 1046 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. And for that, we go to Odessa, Texas.
What?
Yes, Odessa, Texas. Now, where I grew up out in West Texas, and Odessa was the big city. If you wanted to go see a movie, you had to drive to Odessa because that was the big city. And indeed, it sounds like it has achieved that level because a former Permian high school teacher has pleaded guilty to 4 counts of an improper student-teacher relationship, 3 counts of sexual assault of a minor, 1 count of indecency with a child, and 1 count of stalking. Did I say he had pled guilty? Yes, which means that he admitted doing this. Yes, let's see. The teacher's name is J.D. Burns. I don't want to get into this, that's all. All right, it's disgusting. Anyway, one of the reasons to keep your kids out of the government schools is because it's full of perverts intent on molesting your children psychologically at best. And physically at worst. And here's an example of the worst. Right there under the Friday night lights at Permian High School in Odessa, Texas. They go through everything he did with these kids, and I just can't get into it. I thank God that early on in my life, before I had children, that I was exposed to the idea that the government schools are dangerous. And wicked and evil and godless, and that you should homeschool your kids. I should get down on the ground and just thank God on my knees that I met people who had homeschooled their children so that by the time I had kids, it was not a foreign idea to me at all. And I feel a sympathy for those of you who find it somewhat uncomfortable to think about the idea of not putting your kids in the government schools. I feel sorry for you. I feel genuine pity for you. And I am blessed beyond measure. I am blessed beyond measure. Now, let's go to NBC in the Bay Area. For reason number 1045, in no particular order, to get or keep your children out of the government schools, Douglas Lee is a 25-year-old teacher. In the Bay Area, he has been arrested on suspicion of felony child enticement. At last report, he was sitting in the Santa Clara County Jail. Lee is a teacher at Gilroy High School. He was allegedly given illicit images from juveniles under the impression that they were in an online relationship with a female persona. So he acted like a woman to go online and troll for little boys and get them to send pictures. And then they did. Send him pictures. Yeah. Parents in the Bay Area were troubled to hear of the teacher's arrest. But no worries. The school has announced that school psychologists and counselors will be available to provide support services to students any time of the day or night. They're willing to talk to them on their cell phones. They're even willing to text back and forth if that's what it takes.
Dangerous.
if that's what it takes to help the kids get over this troubling situation. The school superintendent issued a statement because, heaven forbid, he would have to stand up and actually speak to the issue and answer any questions. So in the dead of night, he issued a statement. And that statement said, quote, "I want to reassure parents and the community that the safety of our students remains our highest priority. We are working to continue to ensure the safety of all of our students. And we are working with the police as they investigate this troubling matter." This is a statement from the superintendent there at the Santa Clara, whatever, Bay Area. The government-funded schools. There you go. Reason number 1045, as if you needed another reason. And, of course, I want to reiterate that the biggest reason to get or keep your children out of the government schools, it isn't all this, although this is definitely contributing. But it's the fact that the schools are officially godless, and they're designed to actively inoculate your child against the gospel of Jesus Christ and condemn your child to an eternity of hellfire and damnation. We're back. It's the Wiggly Worldview. I'm Doug McBurney. Thank you for being here. Must admit I'm a bit out of sorts. What with all the weather and the elevation changes, I think just out of sorts. I hope you'll bear with me. All right, let's go to the justice file. If you wanted some encouraging news, well, I'd have to tell you to go somewhere else, unfortunately. I don't know why I'm so pessimistic. I mean, I'm optimistic in the big picture sense because I know God wins. But as to the near future, I'm relatively pessimistic. Do you get that sense? Maybe, possibly. Because I really want to try to forge an optimistic persona. Let me try to do it while I read this story. Okay. Out of the justice file, ladies and gentlemen, Breitbart's reporting today that the Department of Justice is deploying a new term for convicted criminals. They are now to be called justice-involved individuals. That's right, the Departments of Justice and Housing and Urban Development have announced $1.75 million to address the challenges justice-involved individuals face when trying to find work and a place to call home. Yes, that's the new term. A place to call home, I think, is a new term for a house to burglarize. I believe that's the terminology. The future of our nation, says the Housing and Urban Development and the Department of Justice, they say the future of our nation depends upon young people who have become involved with our justice system. These are people who have been convicted of felonies. They're now justice-involved individuals, and the government has a program and a couple million bucks here to help them to find work and a new house to burglarize. Need I say any more? Need I say? Oh, by the way, did you know that last week was National Reentry Week? Yeah, no, that's not about the border and the immigration. This is where the government funds a program through public housing authorities and other government agencies to help justice-involved individuals convicted of crimes get jobs and housing after they serve their sentence. And they've got a whole week, National Reentry Week. They've got the Juvenile Reentry Assistance Program. That helps ex-cons in part by expunging or sealing the criminal records for those up to 24 years old so they can live in taxpayer-funded public housing. So this is just... All right. Was that positive enough, though? I don't want to come off as too negative. I'm sure... No, everything's fine. It's just fine. Yeah. Matter of fact, things are so good, ladies and gentlemen. We go to the domestic tranquility file where a man has been shot and killed while talking to a candidate running for the Pennsylvania State House. Yes, a 21-year-old man was talking to Chris Robb, who's running for a seat in the 200th district there in Pennsylvania, when someone opened fire, hitting the victim twice in the head. Isn't it interesting how the author phrases that? Open fire, someone opened fire, hitting the victim twice. And that's formerly known as he shot him in the head twice. Someone shot him in the head twice, but they say open fire, hitting the victim. 4 hours later, and just one block away, police say multiple gunmen killed an 18-year-old and injured a 17-year-old in a drive-by shooting. The second shooting was believed to be in retaliation for the earlier homicide. Yes, the first victim, obviously a fine, upstanding young man. He was a nice young man, they said. He works the polls on election day. They were talking about the election. The young man was interested in Chris's campaign. We handed him a piece of literature, got his phone number, and then another man came up behind him and shot him execution style in the head. And then a few hours later, there was a retaliatory. And everything's just fine. It's good. It's positive. Uplifting. That's where we want to go. Let's keep it positive. Everything's good. All right. So we go from the execution style slaughter of another young black man by another young black man, by the way, not to put too fine a point on that. We're going to go into the science. Really? File. Where researchers from the University of Texas at Austin and the University of Michigan, just to be sure, have looked at 75 studies involving more than 150,000 children over 50 years, and they found that children who were spanked were more likely to defy their parents. That's right, spanking does not work. According to two universities, 75 studies, 150,000 children, this is 50 years of data. You just can't argue with the data. Yes, this is, as reported by CBS in Sacramento, California. A five-decade study published in the Journal of Family Psychology reveals that spanking doesn't make kids' behavior better right away, and it often leads to worse behavior in the long run. Researchers also found that children who are spanked are more likely to be aggressive and antisocial. Researchers did point out that the effectiveness of spanking ultimately depends on the individual child. Said, you know, I think that the effectiveness of spanking ultimately depends on the individual parent, you psycho-babbling idiots. It's the parent. And I have no doubt that if you look at spanking over the last 50 years, you'll find out that, indeed, it hasn't worked very well for most parents because most parents don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to properly use corporal punishment. And they wait until they get angry and they belt the kid and they whack the kid in the head and yeah, that does not work. If you want to know how to institute corporal punishment in your family successfully, well, you could send me an email. I could clue you in. But it's really simple. You have to be in agreement with your wife on exactly what the parameters are. What are the boundaries? And then those boundaries simply have to be enforced uniformly and always, every time. And you should never spank your child when you're angry. You should never spank your child out of rage. That's all. So spanking doesn't depend on the child. It depends on the parent. But if you're listening to psychobabblers from these various universities, well, you may not. What happened to my story about the hand blow dryers, for crying out loud? That was the most important story of the week. Hold on. Have you taken that story out of my pile here? Because I desperately needed to report that to the people. I don't see it. Well, anyway, folks, you know the hand dryer in the bathroom? Have you seen these things? Of course you've seen them. Have you seen the Dyson jet dryer with the two blades and you put your hands in there and it actually deforms your skin? Anyway, I noticed this a few years ago, is that there's always a grotesquely disgusting smelling pool of gray goo underneath these things and at the bottom. And it looks like a science culture going on down there. Well, a recent study says that these jet boat dryers for your hands, they can blow viruses and bacteria up to 10 feet away. So you're basically spraying everyone in the place with a mixture of soap, water, and your own urine and other bacteria while you're saving the planet. So there. Anyway, can't believe I lost that story. That's unfortunate. I'll try to link to it on the website since I know that you're all desperately interested and on the edge of your seat about that one. So finally, ladies and gentlemen, we go to the science, really, file, where scientists at Oxford University found that people with large groups of friends have a higher tolerance for pain. And they say that experts looked into endorphins, which are the body's natural painkiller. And they say the chemical, these endorphins, are so potent that they're more powerful than the pain-relieving opiate drug morphine, which I think was the only drug they didn't find on Prince's person or in his dresser. I think the only thing he didn't have was straight-up morphine. Anyway, they say that having a lot of friends is more effective than basically taking heroin or other opiates. The researchers looked at 101 adults who were questioned on a number of aspects of their lives and also received a non-invasive physical pain test. They found that people with larger social networks, a lot of friends, have a higher pain tolerance. And that it can be just as effective just getting the endorphins released from being around people who make you feel good. That can be just as effective as OxyContin, oxycodone, hydrocodone, and whatever it was that Prince was hiding in his socks when they found him unresponsive in that elevator. And so there. By the way, did you know that the mechanism of action of opioid medications and their pain-killing properties, did you know that the mechanism of action is officially listed in the physician's desk reference as unknown? They don't know why it works. They don't know the mechanism of action. But they do know how endorphins work. Endorphins are released when you're complimented or you're in a loving, friendly, happy, fun situation with people you love. And so, love wins. But it's got to be true love. And true love is love without hypocrisy. Love without secrets. Love without lies. True love wins. Opiates, on the other hand, well, we're not even sure how they work. And it seems like all they do is deaden the pain. And they don't really give you any joy. And my guess is there's probably people in my audience listening to my show who are hooked on opiates because it's a massive epidemic problem. And, I just hope that you find true love, so that you can get past the addiction. And true love can be found only in one man. The one man who proved that he held within his heart for all of humanity true love. And that man is Jesus Christ, who loved his friends so much that he laid down his very life for them. And in Jesus Christ, you can overcome anything. And so look for true love in the person of Jesus Christ, and you'll be able to throw away the pills. And I don't know about the big social network. I think I can count my friends on one hand, and I still have a couple fingers left over. So I don't have a lot of, to me, the word friend, that's a pretty serious word. But anyways, so I've told you what to do, and I've told you where to go, and I've tried to leave you with something positive and uplifting. And for that, I hope that you thank me very much and that you'll tune in again next week. We will be back, should the Lord tarry. I want to thank my friends at KGOV, at American Right to Life, and of course my other brother Daryl, who makes it all happen, here in the Weekly Worldview Studios. We'll be back next week, and until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.